I invite you to rise for the singing of the psalm. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord."
Scripture lesson for today is the first verse of this psalm from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, when I was teaching confirmation classes, there was a young girl, 13-year-old, that sat right at the front of the class, right beneath me, and rarely did she highlight anything in her book. But one day I noticed she took out her yellow highlighter and just scratched up the book over certain words and drew a big star off to the side and circled it. There was something she saw that was really important. We were covering the third commandment. And we were talking about worship, and we had just read the Bible passage from Hebrews, which says, "Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together." And I was talking about the importance of coming together for regular worship and how this nourishes us in our faith. And she just took and highlighted that passage like crazy. After class, she came up to me, and she said, "Pastor Molstead, my parents don't like to go to church very much. What can I do to get them to come to church more often and to bring me more often?" That's a pretty wonderful thing to hear from the mouth of a 13-year-old teenage girl. She had come to appreciate and realize the importance of God's Word and sacrament in her life. One of the best places for us to observe the great wrestling match that goes on between our old Adam and our new man in us as believers is in this very aspect of our life, in the realm of worship and the hearing of God's word. There's a tendency in us, as Luther explained in his explanation to the third commandment, there is a tendency in us to despise preaching and God's word, to not hold it sacred, to not think of it very highly. There's a tendency in us to think that we can put it off and it's not really that important. There's a tendency to think that maybe someday we can go back to it and it'll have significance, but for right now, there's so much more in my life that's more important, that's more demanding of my time. Well, that, my friends, is my old Adam speaking. The old sinful concupiscence in me that has a bent away from the will of God. The text before us today is how the heart of faith, the new man, speaks. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." The new man rejoices in wanting to gather for worship and wanting to come together with fellow believers to hear of the marvelous things of our Lord. So why do we worship? Well, the desire in us to worship is something that is God-given. It is an attachment, if you will, or a built-in component of true faith in Christ as our Savior. There's a natural built-in tendency and desire in the heart of the believer to want to come and hear more about our Lord. It is part of the fruit that is on the vine of Christ. And this desire and urge inside of the Christian is something that God the Holy Spirit has implanted. And that's wonderful to know. When you have that sense inside of you that I need to go and hear the Word of God, and when I want to hear of His grace and forgiveness in Christ, I want to be strengthened in my faith, that's wonderful to know that it's the Holy Spirit Himself causing that activity and those thoughts in your heart and mind. And so there's a natural built-in tendency inside of Christ's faithful in this world to gather together. A congregation is just an assumed thing that will happen when you start bringing the faith around and implanting it in people's hearts. There's just a natural desire like magnets to want to be together and to worship and to hear together what our Lord has to say to us. And if you think about the pictures that Jesus himself gives about his church, it always includes this corporate or gathering component, a flock of sheep. The parts of a body that are together and united, stones that are built up together into a church. He always includes this component of a togetherness and a gathering and a corporate nature to his faithful in this world. So is it possible to be a Christian without wanting to go and worship? without wanting to go to church at all? I remember a young pastor asking that at a little pastor's conference once. He said, I've got a member that just doesn't want to go to come to church. He claims he's a Christian, but he hasn't been to church for years. He hasn't taken the sacrament for 5 or 6 years. And the pastor said, is it possible for someone to still be a Christian and not really want to go and worship? And I remember this old pastor leaned forward and said, a true believer in Christ would never even ask such a question. Those who truly hunger and thirst for righteousness as part of Christ's church, they have to eat. If your body is alive, it's going to want to eat. That's a sign that it's alive. If there's no appetite, probably looking at a corpse. True faith in Christ recognizes the great weakness that all of us have, recognizes how desperately we need the forgiveness and grace that our Lord Jesus won for every one of us on the cross, shedding his holy blood for us. We realize how our own righteousness is just nothing but filthy rags before God. And it's only through the grace of Christ and the precious gift of faith that he's given us in the waters of baptism, it's only through the righteousness and that robe of righteousness we wear in Christ that we have any hope of going to heaven someday. No wonder God's faithful in this world love to come and worship. And for this reason, our Lord has made worship and what happens in worship a mark of where his church can be found in this world, where God's word is proclaimed in its truth, where his grace and gospel is put forth to the people, where his holy sacraments are properly done according to Christ's institution, there the sheep will automatically gather. There the stones will be built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. There the body parts will come together and be together as one under the head of Christ. Because God has said to us, my word will not return unto me void or empty. So let's consider some of the great benefits that we get from corporate worship together. First of all, as we've noted, it certainly strengthens our faith. It strengthens us in the grace of Christ and keeping us on that path of faith. Remember years ago, a lady in a congregation I was serving missed a Sunday of church. She was gone for the weekend, and she came in on Monday and said, did you happen to tape the service? I feel like I need it like a battery recharging. That spiritually it's a way of just rekindling and strengthening that fire that God has placed inside of us. Another wonderful benefit of worship is that it unites us with fellow believers. And it has an amazing capacity to do this even beyond language barriers or cultural barriers. I've been privileged 5 times in my life to worship corporately in foreign countries, and even in foreign languages, when I didn't really even know what was totally going on in the service for the most part. And yet there was a great unifying and strengthening benefit that came from that. Those were some of my favorite points of going on those trips. I remember years ago, our synod has a mission down in Peru, in South America. Years ago, we were celebrating an anniversary of that mission. And somebody had gone down with a video camera and videotaped one of their worship services. And they just so happened to be singing a hymn that all of us knew up here. Many people knew by heart. And as we were watching this on the screen, listening to them sing in Spanish, the assembly just naturally started singing in English. There's just this wonderful unifying quality that comes with music and liturgy and worship and connects us likewise to the ancient church of believers as well. And it's here in worship that we stay in tune with the language of the church, that we continue to know how to speak God's grace to one another. And it also has tremendous earthly benefits. Just regular worship is a wonderful way of filtering through the problems of our lives and the sins of our lives and the troubles we deal with. It helps to strengthen marriages. Even psychological studies demonstrate that. And there's also a great strength to be found in numbers. A lot of times, maybe not so much here on the campus, but when you get out into the world, you find yourself that, not that this isn't the world, but You'll find yourself at times isolated at a certain job. And maybe there's no one else around you who thinks the way you do as a Christian. That can be pretty challenging for people. Or maybe you'll be at another university where you're the only one in the classroom that feels that you think the way that you do and your faith is being challenged. What a wonderful benefit that comes from corporate worship, where fellow believers get together and stand and boldly sing God's praises, hear His word, and confess the great creeds of the church together. What a wonderful unifying quality there is for Christ's church on earth. And the most important thing is that corporate worship keeps us heavenly minded. It keeps us focused on the real home that we have waiting for us. Years ago, there was a young lady in a church I was serving. She was only 9 years old, that had a brain tumor. And she was hospitalized for over a year with this brain tumor. And finally, when they brought her back to town here, she said to her doctor, "One thing I would like to do before I die is to go back and worship at my church." And the doctor said, "Well, we can't let you out of the hospital because you can't swallow on your own yet." He said, "If you could ever swallow on your own again, we might let you go." And every night for about a week, she worked as hard as she could to get her throat muscles to work so she could swallow again. And what a neat moment that was when they wheeled her in her wheelchair down the aisle of church with a big smile on her face to come and worship with us. One of the last things she was allowed to do before she died. When we arrive in heaven, someday we're going to probably look back on our lives and shake our heads at the fact that maybe we didn't take worship and word and sacrament with as great an importance as God has placed upon it. What a wonderful thing we have in our corporate worship together. So, oh come, throughout our lives, oh come, let us worship the Lord. Let us rejoice in the rock of our salvation. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious gifts of your word and sacrament by which you strengthen us in our faith and strengthen us with our fellow brethren in Christ. We pray that you would continue to kindle this wonderful fire of faith in our hearts as we look forward to the day when we shall worship at your throne forever. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen.